When the Dark of the Night Comes Around. Written by Safely Capricious and read by K-Burb. This is a DC Marvel crossover fic, rated teen and up audiences, in which no archive warnings apply. It features the relationship between Roy and Jason, as well as the character of Natasha. Additional tags include alternate universe, magic, curses, and temporary character death. This is part 3 of 1000 Magic Spells. Everyone knows where the witch lives and are happy to give him directions, but no one will show him the way or tell him the witch's name, let alone anything else about them. It's hardly a surprise, but it's disappointing. Realistically, it's probably better that no one is willing to help, and since he was asking all those questions, the townsfolk are avoiding him a bit, because it makes it easier to get Jason out of the inn and on the path with the light falling. At a quick glance, Jason looks fine, looks normal. But if you look longer, if you take your time, well. Roy is not inclined to reenact getting chased out of a town that thought that Jason was a zombie, or the one where they thought he was a leaper, or the one where they thought he was an evil spirit come to eat their children, or... in any case, this is probably for the best. He just hopes the witch, whoever they are, can help. He's dragged Jason up and down the land, from magic user to magic user, trying to fix it and...
"You could just let me die,"
Jason had said, after their 7th attempt, back when he could still talk. Now he just grunts and snarls, but still lets Roy lead him. The path ends at the edge of the forest, but Roy can see the shadowed outline of a cabin further up the hill. Fog has appeared from nowhere, and, well, it's certainly a vibe. "All right, Jaybird," he says, patting his friend on the shoulder. "Keep your fingers crossed that we aren't going to get turned into stew or something." Not that Jason would let that happen. He's docile until attacked, and then he's decidedly undocile and, well, they'll probably be fine. None of the villagers had warned him about the witch in a "those who never go come back" sort of way, so it's probably fine. Roy doesn't have to remind himself that it's probably fine as he knocks on the door, because he's starting to think this whole thing was a prank. The windows are all dark, there's no smoke coming from the chimney, the place is barely standing. He's only knocking because he made it this far and... "What?" says a cranky voice, and then the door is swinging open and... the windows are still dark, but through the open doorway, the cabin is aglow with firelight and is deceptively warm and comforting. Deceptively because there is a red-headed woman scowling up a storm and standing in the doorway with her arms crossed. "Hi, I'm looking for the witch," he says in a rush, tugging Jason forward a little so that the light from inside shows him, shows his empty eyes. But even he looks more alive under the glow. "There's no witch here," she says, and starts to close the door. "Please," Roy shoves his foot into the door. "My friend, it's... do you think you can help him?" She sighs, a full body thing. "I'm not the witch. He's not here. He's on his honeymoon, and I have no idea when he'll be back. I'm just house-sitting. As for your friend, why haven't you just let him die?" Roy won't say that he's never punched a woman, because that would be a lie, but usually he waits for them to attack him first. Still, it's a struggle not to throw a punch now. "I'm looking for magical help for him," he says, as calmly as he can, "because I don't want him to die." She squints at him for a minute, looks back at Jason, looks back at him. "Oh," she says, expression clearing, "you're an idiot." She looks at Jason again, rolls her eyes, and says, "Fine, whatever, come in," and steps back to let them through the door. Considering she was just talking about letting Jason die, Roy doesn't really want to go in. But he's actually running out of magic users. The rumor of a witch in this part of the world had been his last lead. There's still, allegedly, a very powerful sorceress who seems more inclined to curse than to cure, but he hasn't found any solid leads on her yet. So they go in, and she shuts the door behind them. "So why can't he die?" she asks as she gestures for them to sit at the quaint little table. It's got a purple tablecloth with stars and arrows on it, and doesn't seem like her style at all, as she goes to a cabinet and pulls out three mismatched mugs. "I love him," he says, which is not what he'd meant to say, and when he tries to clarify, as a friend, he can't. "House has a truth field on it," she says, casually, as she pours something steaming into three mugs and manages to carry all three of them over to the table. "Don't look at me like that," she says as she settles in. "I didn't put it up. It's not my house." "You're really not the witch?" he asks, because he thought she just didn't want to help. "Nope," she says. Before he can ask when the witch will be back, Jason starts choking. And when he looks, the mug rolls out of his hand and he slumps down against the table. What did you do? He's reaching for Jason to try and help him, to keep him alive. "Poison. Fast acting. Painless," she says, and takes a sip from her own cup. Roy is going to kill her. But before he can, Jason takes a big gasping breath and gives a full body shiver and sits up, and his eyes are glowing slightly, but he looks like himself. "Where the fuck are we?" he asks. "Congratulations," she says, taking another sip. "He's cured." Roy is going to kiss her. The end. Author's note. Sorceress Natasha in a bored IT voice. "Have you tried turning him off and on again?"